Autism is a disease that often drives people apart. It isolates children from parents and families from their friends. And it's left a chasm between parents of autistic children and mainstream medical science. Many parents feel betrayed by scientists who once blamed the disorder on bad parenting, and they feel abandoned by doctors who offer no cure and little hope. A new autism research center in California is trying to bridge this divide. It was founded by four men who are fathers of autistic sons. As NPR's John Hamilton reports, the center's goal is to cure autism by changing the way scientific research is done.
When the Mind Institute opens its doors in April, it will be the nation's largest autism-related treatment and research center. 100,000 square feet of wood-trimmed exam rooms and high-tech labs on the campus of the UC Davis Medical Center in Sacramento. At the moment, though, it's still a two-story maze of raw concrete and exposed wires. Workers in hard hats are everywhere, racing to get the job done. Chuck Gardner is supervising the project.
We started building the building before we had the design complete. So when we got the foundation plans complete, we actually started the foundation while they were still completing the rest of the design.
For Gardner, this job is personal. He's the father of an autistic son, Chaz, who is 10. And he's one of the founders of the Mind Institute. Since Chaz was 2, Gardner has dreamed of a sort of Manhattan Project for autism. He wanted to create a center that would cure the disorder quickly. And he wanted parents to be involved in running it. Gardner started by presenting his idea to a room full of scientists at UC Davis.
And they really weren't buying into this vision that I was trying to put out there. And I said, okay, why not? And they go, you don't have any money. And I said, well, gosh, how much money do you think it would take? And they said, $5 million. And I don't know if they told me that to make me go away, but I can tell you, as a parent of a kid with autism, I wasn't discouraged at all. In fact, I was encouraged because I knew that $5 million would not stand between me and getting to know my son for the first time ever.
As it turned out, money wasn't an obstacle. In the 5 years since that meeting, the project has raised about $50 million. The Institute began operating out of temporary quarters in 1998. Chuck Gardner didn't do it all himself. He worked with a team of fathers of autistic sons. Autism is a disorder of sons. About 80% of affected children are boys.
Hey, you! Hey, Rusty!
Russell Rollins, who is 12, runs up to his father, Rick, as he gets home from work. Rick Rollins was Secretary of the California Senate for a decade. But when Russell was diagnosed with autism, Rollins quit to become a lobbyist, something that paid more and let him work from home. Like many parents, but few doctors, Rollins blames vaccinations for his son's disorder.
He was never the same after the shots. His development slowed down. We continued to vaccinate him all the way up through his first MMR vaccine. And that was the final straw in his tolerance for these immunizations and had gone completely into the world of autism at that time.
Snowman, that's right, he's a snowman.
Today, Rollins lives with his wife and two sons in Granite Bay, a community known as the Beverly Hills of Sacramento. By the time he became involved with the other dads in the Mind Institute, he and his wife had tried everything to help Russell, including a range of unconventional treatments.
Oh, yeah.
You're the best. How are we feeling today? How you feeling? Hey. How you feeling?
Happy.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're happy.
Did you have a great day at school?
Again?
Rollins even designed his house specifically to improve his son's life.
Russell loves to swim, and the whole house is centered around the backyard and the swimming pool with the big windows so we can watch when he's out there and always be within eyesight. We designed the den down the hall here to be within striking distance of the kitchen, and you can always see what's going on down in the den as well.
You want to go swimming? Sure. Okay,
wait. Swimming? Okay.
Yeah, Russell, you need to unzip your top, remember? Okay, let's change.
At the Mind Institute, similarities between Rollins' house and the new research center are obvious. Each is a building in which every architectural detail reflects a parent's knowledge of autism. Chuck Gardner says one goal at the Institute was to create a structure that would inspire both parents and scientists.
So the building is set up such that this rotunda, which really the Mind Institute is it's a beacon of hope to the entire world to find a cure for autism. And it really looks like a beacon when you walk up to it.
Unlike most academic centers, the Mind Institute has just one entrance for everybody. It's through a set of thick glass doors beneath the rotunda. Gardner says the idea came to him when he realized some autism researchers had never met a child with autism.
Here these guys were trying to figure out how to cure it, but they had never seen it. And so we made sure that the parents and the kids with autism all went through the same door, because I felt like that it was really important that the people who were working on the cure actually see the struggles that the parents go through. And look what these kids look like. Look them in the eye. And maybe you'll develop some sense of urgency about what you're doing. And maybe you get some idea when you see this odd behavior. Maybe it triggers something in the back of your mind that you haven't thought about before.
The building isn't the only place where scientists mingle with parents. One thing that makes the Mind Institute different is that parents have a place on its board and on every key committee. Gardner says that turned out to be a problem for a few researchers there.
Some of them have been open to it and embraced this relationship. Some of them have not. And the ones that have not, they have to do their research somewhere else.
Parents say they insisted on having a role in the research because scientists had made so little progress on their own. Rick Rollins says they knew that just pouring money into traditional autism research wouldn't get them very far.
If we were going to wait for mainstream medicine to get around to finding a cure for our kids, we'd all be old and gray, and our children will outlive us in their condition. And as a parent of a child with autism, you worry about that every moment of your waking day.
One reason scientists at the Mind Institute take parents seriously is because parents bring in the money. Much of it flows in thanks to Rollins. He realized that the state of California was one of the few places with enough cash to build a world-class institute. So he spends much of his time strolling the hallways of the state capitol, talking about autism to anyone who will listen. And in the capitol, just about everybody listens to Rick Rollins.
Hi, how are you doing? Hi, how are you? Good to see you. How are you doing?
I've got a cold.
Don't want to touch. Okay, all right. Good to see you.
As much as I can avoid it.
Hey there. How are you? Good to see you.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
Rollins has remarkable credibility with state legislators from both parties. Many remember him as the man who made the Senate run smoothly for a decade. Others respect him simply because he is lobbying for something he believes in, passionately. During an elevator ride in the Capitol building, Rollins says he has been surprised at times by his own success.
I remember one case where we met with the Republican leader in the Senate. He walked in his office and he said, "Rick, what's going on?" I said, "Well, we're here. We've got a request for $34 million appropriation for the Mind Institute." And he said, "Done. Talk to you later." That was it. I mean, it was like the shortest conversation of all time. So.
Is this us?
Yeah.
That kind of money is allowing the Mind Institute to be more than a center for research, treatment, and education. Standing next to a wall of tinted windows on the first floor, Gardner explains that this building will also be a haven for parents of autistic children.
I know what it's like to travel with a kid with autism, to put them on an airplane for 4 hours while they tantrum and kick and scream, and while the whole airplane looks at you as you try to control his behavior, only to get in the rental car line to have him do the same thing with everybody looking at you, only to get to the doctor's waiting room. You go in to see the doctor, he can't examine your kid because he's a wreck. As a parent, you're a wreck because you know you gotta turn around and rewind the tape going home. And it was horrible.
Gardner motions to an area inside the glass where parents can rest when they arrive. Then he steps through the door into a courtyard equipped with slides and swings.
This is the playground. As a parent, you can sit, relax, and you can turn him loose out here. And you can see how high we've made the fences.
Gardner says the playground isn't just for kids. It's also a tool for doctors, researchers, and therapists.
There's an observation room, just like our exam room observation rooms, that looks out onto this playground. So we have all the same capability that we have in our standard observation room. So we have, we'll be able to, if the child's really anxious about going into the doctor's office, we'll just do the exam out here.
Doctors and researchers who left more conventional jobs to work at the Mind Institute say parents' input has been critical. It's transformed their approach to research and even their understanding of autism.
What I learned early on from the parents was that the textbook view of autism is not the whole story.
David Amaral directs research at the Mind Institute. He was a well-established scientist when he arrived, but not an expert on autism. That's because parents hoped researchers from other fields would bring fresh ideas.
I thought early on that autism was mainly a psychological problem, knew that it probably was a problem of brain function or dysfunction. I had no idea that these kids also had gastrointestinal problems, that they had sleep disorders. They had all kinds of ancillary problems that the parents were equally worried about and certainly affected their everyday life.
So the Mind Institute is studying the range of physical problems that can accompany autism in hopes of finding distinct subgroups of children. And the Institute is searching for ways to use blood tests at birth to identify children likely to develop autism. Such efforts have won the respect of autism researchers nationwide. But the Mind Institute upset some scientists a few months ago when it released a study on the apparent rise in autism rates in California without first publishing the study in a scientific journal. And the Institute is investigating possible links between vaccines and autism, something many researchers feel is a waste of time. Amaral disagrees.
Somebody has to think a little bit out of the box. And you know, if our scientific colleagues at other institutions feel that that's not appropriate, well, I guess the more important issue is, you know, who solves autism first.
Despite its unorthodox approach, the Mind Institute gets high marks from autism researchers at other universities. They say it's a serious, rigorous scientific organization that has already made important contributions. And Amaral says he's known from the outset that his job is to cure a disorder, not cater to scientific purists.
Chuck Gardner, really, at one of our first community meetings, gave a very impassioned story about his own family and why he got involved in the Mind Institute. And then he concluded by saying, my fondest dream for the Mind Institute is that we can close it down in 10 years. And so, you know, this to an academic is, 10 years is a drop in the bucket, but we're on a very different time frame here. We want to try and get the job done as quickly as possible.
That's it. That's the tour.
Chuck Gardner stands on a muddy path outside the Institute. He pauses a moment when asked if finishing the building will give him a sense of satisfaction. Then he says he'll be satisfied when he finally gets to know his son. John Hamilton, NPR News, Sacramento.